computer, it must be. Okay, there we go. So, welcome back. Episode 2 of this Stonywood Dice Lockdown Diary podcast. Who better to be joined by than two Stonywood Dice legends and Mike Lowe. So,
very good, very good. I like that.
How are we doing, both of you? Good. How's lockdown?
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, very
cheers,
good.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Mike will be dribbling by the end.
Hey?
You'll be dribbling by the end, Mike.
Why?
Because you've got a beer.
No. You know me.
So, just for everyone, probably should have made this clearer last episode, but the aim of these podcasts really is just to get everyone speaking about not just Stonywood Dice, but in general, just about cricket. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, who better to speak about cricket and Stonywood Dice than these two? For anyone that doesn't know, Jabba joined in 2001, was it?
Yeah.
And then captain, president, two's captain, and all that. And Lamy, you've been here since
the year dog.
Amalgamation, was it?
Yeah, amalgamation. Well,
before, and then
obviously, amalgamation.
I mean, yeah. So you've seen the good, the bad, and ugly, I'm sure.
I've seen a lot.
For plenty of years.
Yeah.
So I suppose what we're going to do today is Lamy and Mike are going to pick their best ever local 11s, and then we'll put a poll up and see who's his best, and we'll also add a 12th man of the best overseas they've ever played with. The only catch being they can't pick the same player. So obviously the better players can't be picked unless it would be a really easy team to pick. And they've also got played a game with them. So as I reminded Lamy of earlier, I have played a game with him, so I'm sure I'll be in it.
Remember that, though.
It wasn't memorable, Lamy. It clearly wasn't memorable.
Was it a friendly game or was it an inter-club match or something?
Was it a two counties cup?
I was going to say two counties cup, probably.
Strathmore.
Oh, way, yeah.
Strathmore, not against
that was a really good game. We won by like one ball to spare or something.
Yeah, there was some Indian lads. There was some Indian guy there. Who?
Farhad took us home, yeah.
Farhad, yeah, he did. He was superb. So
I'm obviously joking. I mean, if I'm anywhere near any of your teams, then...
Then we've had some bad players over the years.
We've had some bad teams over the years. anyway, so...
That's unfair.
Suppose we'll just...
In 10 years' time when we do this, you'll be in the team.
Yeah, give it 20 years when another clown's on doing this and I might slide in somewhere. Who wants to start then? Let's just get into it.
Well, let me go first.
Tactically, I want to start because that then means I get first pick more than he does. Yeah. So
you can literally pick any. We don't have to go in order.
I think we should do it in proper.
I'm going in order anyway. Okay.
So, Lamy, who is your number one?
I'm going for someone who I know for a fact's on Mike Lowe's sheet. And he's going to shake his head and jump up and down and spill some of his beer. Just the stuff that's going to dribble out when he has a few. But I'm going for Stewie Kutzer.
He was a legend for me.
He was a superb player. The only criticism is Stewie could have applied himself a little bit more. He just loved to have too much fun. But still, you look back the records and show what he did for us. He was great. He was also a great team guy. And that's me also got my wicketkeeper out of the way as well. So I think I've got one over on you there, Mike.
You've left me with a massive task now to come up with a keeper.
I was thinking that actually because we don't have many.
Are you not a keeper?
Sorry?
Are you not a keeper, KP?
No.
I'm just trying to get you in the side, you know. I was trying to help you.
I'm a spinning all rounder, you know.
So that's where this the probe in the 12th is now throws me because I had that as a caveat. I was gonna pick somebody as a keeper if Stewie was gone. So I don't know who we're gonna go with.
Now. Give yourself the gloves, Mikey.
Oh, been there. I kept in the ones for a season, Lamy.
Yeah, you did, actually. I've never, ever seen a blind man keep wicket before, but you did.
And it was the year we had the fastest opening pair.
Yeah, the reason we did that was because you had more chance of catching the ball with gloves on without gloves on. So you were disabled.
That's unfair, Lamy. I'm not having that. Right, I'll go my opening batsman now. So my number one, yeah. I don't think there's going to be any surprise to anybody in Stonywood Dice who this is going to be. KP, you can say who it is?
Kyle Kutzer.
There you go. Kyle Kutzer.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Kyle, as far as I can remember, Kyle only played at Stonywood until 2002. Is that right, Lammy? I think so. It was 2001, 2002.
Yeah. So I'm going to say there, I mean, I don't have Kyle's name down at all in my sheet, which would be a surprise to most people.
Yeah.
Because Kyle is by far the best cricketer ever to have come out of Stony Wood, ever to come out of Scotland.
Yeah.
But in saying that, Kyle left when he was 16 years old.
He was 18.
Was he 18?
18 when he left, yeah.
So, and Kyle at that point was not a big lad. You know, he's just the smallest kind of guy. And, you know, he was hitting 10s, 20s, 25, 30s. Mm-hmm. Didn't really sort of set any fires alight.
Yeah.
But he had the technique. And the opposition guys, when he was that age, just basically set a ring around him.
Yeah,
and hit the field, he really struggled to hit the ball in the air because he's just not that type of player. And he would hit some glorious shots straight at fielders. And, you know, although you could see it was there, it's just a pity he left too early.
Left for Stony Wood too early. It was great for him.
Absolutely. But that's the only reason that as I say, we'd...
And I just gone with him because of the player he turned out to be.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you could take it anyway, can't you?
Yeah, and that's the way I've sort of done this with a few of my picks. KP, are you making notes there of who's
in? Yeah, I'm writing down both the teams.
Okay. Did you play with Kyle, Mike?
I played two seasons with Kyle.
Okay.
My first season there, Lammy, that team that year, we had, I think we had four or five guys under 20. Kyle was 17. Stuart was there. Brando, Mark McMillan. That was my first year at Stony Wood. And we had Casper, who was probably only 18 or 19.
Yeah,
great. We had a very, very young team. And class team in the long run.
Yeah, Sean was a late starter, though, wasn't he? Sean did.
Sean was there. Sean was in the team. Sean took wickets for fun those days.
Yeah, but he's a little late starter in the batting.
Yeah, definitely.
Could you always tell Kyle was going to be amazing? Or not really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He just had it, you know, and his interest was there as well. You know, unlike Stuart, who, you know, liked to lark around and stuff like that, Kyle, for me, was just so focused. Yeah.
Stewie was probably technically better, as a technical batter, better than Kyle, but Kyle was more hungry and wanted to do, you know what I mean? He wanted cricket more than Stewie did. Stewie was,
performed better after a late night, didn't he?
Yeah, Stewie, I mean, the one season I captained and Stewie was, I mean, we're talking about Stewie now, but he was never sober. He woke up, you go on a Saturday morning, he'd got in for about an hour before and came out and couldn't see the ball and it ended up scoring 60s, 70s, 80s, 100s.
That's
his first 100. I think he'd been out all night on a bend and got 120 odd against Crookie. It's still one of the best things I've ever witnessed. Amazing.
Yeah.
Right, so I go number three first, do I?
You go number two first, yeah. You're missing an
open two. Number two.
I know Kyle's good, but he's not that good.
Okay. Yeah, but,
I'm going for my number two now then, yeah?
No, I'm going for my number two.
Jabba picks first. It does alternate.
Sorry, okay. All right. Yeah, okay.
So, this is a bit of a curveball, and the reason I'm going down this route is when I captained, he opened the batting for me and did really, really well. In my eyes, legend of Stony Wood Ice Cricket Club, Jan Stander.
Yeah, I mean,
why is that a curveball?
Sorry?
Why is that a curveball?
Well, I suppose a lot of people won't know him as an opening batter. But he opened the batting for me, and that was, you know, and if you put him in a T20 game, opening the batting is devastating. Yeah. Devastating. And you know, hitting that ball straight, I don't think I've seen anybody hit a ball straight like that in my life. And obviously, it's a bowling option for me as well. So that would be my openers, Kyle and Jan.
Yeah.
Well, Jan never opened the batting for me. But sadly, I have to score him out of my team further down the list.
Yeah.
Now that he's taken. My number two, who opened the batting for me when he was at Stony Wood, and I would also say has to be reclaimed as a Stony Wood legend because he really brought a different level to Stony Wood at the time. And this guy is Steve Knox. He was a class player. He came to Stony Wood 1990. In fact, no, he came to Stony Wood in 2000.
No, it was before then.
No, 98. Yeah, because it was just it was the year of the playoffs, I think he came. And he was just a young lad from Cumbria. Came up. We put him up in a flat. John Fraser had a flat in... in fact, I think he maybe even stayed in John Fraser's guest house to start with. And he came up in January, which is early for a pro to come. But we brought him up as a cricket development officer. And he did lots of work with the youngsters and all that sort of stuff. And I remember we had a friendly at Bucky. Or Banff, was it? No, it was Banff. We had a friendly at Banff. No, it was Bucky. I'm right. So it was Bucky. We had a friendly at Bucky. And this was like April, early April. And it was freezing. Absolutely freezing.
Would be bald.
And I remember on the way up the A96, he phoned his mum from the car to tell her that he was on his way to his first game for Stonywood Dice. And he told his mum that he was heading north. And his mum's reply was, son, you can't be heading north from Aberdeen because that's the North Sea. they were unaware of the fact that you could actually play.
Actually go further north than Aberdeen. Aberdeen.
Yeah. Are there places further north than Aberdeen? Yeah. But no, Noxie, great guy. Still is a great guy. Recently had a baby, or his wife's or partner's had a baby. But no, great cricketer. Great cricketer.
I never played with Noxie, only ever played against him, and he was always a fierce competitor. It was always that one wicket that you wanted to get.
He can bowl.
I think I saw him, I saw him when I was at Huntley. I saw him, he played for Penicuik then, and he bowled then. I remember that, but I don't think I've ever faced him. I never faced him.
Yeah, good player.
No, he is.
Good player, good guy as well.
Yeah, great bloke.
Not bad opening partnerships there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? Why was Noxie up as a pro? Like, how did you get him as a pro?
We advertised at that point, we were all about development.
So he was more of a coach.
Yeah, we didn't want a hired hitman to come in and basically win games for us and not do anything for the club.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, it was Pete Kutzer, John Fraser, Alan Barron, Danny Cohen, we'd done a lot of fundraising. We'd set up charitable status for us as a development, the aim was to bring someone in who would come and work with the kids. Bring all the kids on, go into the schools. And Noxie, yeah, I suppose we set Noxie off in his career, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with all of the good things off the pitch that came in Noxie, also on the park, you know, he was a great player, great puller of the ball. Not necessarily in the National League, but certainly in the latter days of the Strathmore Union, you bowled short to Noxie and he hit you flat and fast. I mean, it hit the boundary boards like you would believe. Some player, great player.
Good.
That's good.
You're number three, Noxie.
So who's first now? It's Lamy, eh?
Yeah, back to Lamy, number three.
So I need to be tactical here then, Mike, do I?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Necessarily. Mike's gone very tactical with Yanni opening.
Well, I haven't. Yeah.
Well, I'm picking myself for number three.
No, you can't do that.
I'm picking myself for number three because...
You can't do that, Lamy.
I'd be pretty sad if you decided you were going to grab a hold of me at some point, Mike, and me not be able to pick myself. So I think if I leave myself out here, you're going to get shot at number four, and I've not batted much lower than four until my latter days. So I'm going to pick myself in number three.
Oh, well, I'll head you as my number three as well.
So.
And Lamy, you were going to captain my team now, so I'll have to think of another strategy for captain. Well.
Go on then, Mike. Say a few nice words about Lamy.
I would say, and not because Lamy's listening, unluckiest bloke in Scotland, in Stonywood not to play for Scotland. I think the fact that Lamy was from Aberdeen at the time probably counted against you, Lamy.
Yeah, it was in my era, it was all Central Belt stuff.
Although, that's what I'm saying.
Neil McRae, Floppy, these guys made it being at Aberdeenshire.
KP, one thing I will say is, if you got Lamy, you bowl the straight ball to Lamy, first five balls, you were going to get him out LBW. If he could not get his pad in the way first five balls, Lamy would go on to score big runs.
I love to kick it, Mike.
And I tell you, KP, best mid-off I've ever seen in my life. He never missed the stumps at mid-off. How many run-outs, Lamy?
Yeah, good few.
Loads.
Yeah. And I got a lot. I used to get a lot of catches at mid-off as well. Yeah, number of catches I used to take at mid-off.
That's what I'm saying. Best mid-off I've ever played with by a long way.
But Mikey, a lot of mid-off catches are dollies. You know, you got a lot of guys going to drive, hit it in the air, boom, right straight down mid-off. They got a lot of catches.
I will put my hand up. Best mid-off field I've ever played with.
Thanks, Jabba.
Great bloke. Good captain. Extremely competitive. Mm-hmm. What else can I say? Scored runs for fun against some of the best opposition in the country. The better the opposition, Lamy upped his game. I don't know what else I can say with him listening to me.
Fine.
Let's move on. Lamy. I would agree with
my number. Are you captaining your own team, Lamy?
Let's move on. I'm not captain in my own team.
You're not captain. You got another captain.
I'm captain in my own team. I've got a wee, not a curveball, but I've got someone further down my list that will slide in as my captain.
Lamy, you've given me a problem now. See, this is where this format's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, this is where this is good because...
You must have thought I'd pick myself, Mike.
No, I didn't think you were going to pick yourself.
No?
No, honestly, I didn't think you would.
No, I didn't think you would. I thought Jabba would. I thought Jabba would get you out number one.
No, Lamy's not opening better.
Nah?
No.
Oh, so you're an opener?
No.
I opened for years. What he knows. I opened for years.
Yeah, but Lamy, you were better at number three. I know that you know that. Everybody knows that. So, number three now. Problem I've got is I've got all middle order kings.
I thought Yanni would be one of your number threes.
Well, you see, Yanni did well for me opening, so... I'm stumped now.
Why don't you bring up one of the special bowlers you've got down the bottom just to make sure you get him in your team, Mikey?
Lamy, I'm not going to do that. I mean, there are a couple here that I could.
But you still give me one. Hitters.
Well, there is. Okay, I'm going to do that. Pinch hitter.
Okay.
Pinch hitter. Batter number three many times for Scotland in T20 stuff. Great bloke. Awesome cricketer. But even a better guy, Gordon Gowdie, my number three. Boom.
I mean, yeah, I suppose he bats anywhere, does he, really? For great.
And scored 120 against Stonywood batting at what number?
Yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah, he scored 140 against us, chased down 200, didn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
So, don't like to be reminded about Gordon Gowdie, to be honest.
Great bloke. Hey, Lamy, just...
Yeah. No,
awesome,
I mean...
Awesome kicker.
Yeah. Gordon was the guy that was just, he never got excited about too much. He was never sort of too blasé. He was always just quite chilled out about things.
But worked hard, eh?
Things really serious.
Worked really hard.
You knew that, for me as a captain, you knew that when you threw the ball to Gordon, you know, he was going to come in there and he was going to give you his 100%.
Yep.
And, you know, he also... You know, not only was he, you know, a good bowler, but he could bat as well, eh?
Yeah.
He can bat.
He just never showed it at a young age, did he? I don't think he believed it. And then, but technically correct, hit the ball hard.
Gordon was one of Noxie's young guys.
Yeah.
So Noxie, I think, was the guy who first introduced Gordon to cricket, or would have been right at the start.
And then Paddy Moran helped him a lot.
When Gordon started playing cricket, he was a leg spin bowler.
Really?
He was a leggy. At a young age, he was a leg spin bowler.
Unbelievable.
And then he turns out to be a Scotland international.
Yeah. 5 wickets against Australia.
Yeah.
Not many people have done that.
No.
Brilliant.
Okay. So,
I think I've maybe talked you into sneaking him into your top order there, Mike.
Well, to be fair, mine's a very bowl of... Bowler heavy team, yeah, Lamy. So it's me number.
Yeah. You're number four, Jabba. Another bowler, I'm sure.
Well, another all rounder anyway, and another Scotland player. Have you noticed all three of mine so far played for Scotland?
Yeah.
Fourth guy played for Scotland as well. I had him as a youngster. played in the second team with me, took him around the park, arm around him, many chats over the years. And it was just brilliant to see him come of age. The day England against Scotland up at Manorfield was one of the best, proudest days of my life when I saw Leeske bat so well. So Michael Leeske would be my number four.
It's not a bad top four there, Mike.
I'd say that's all right, isn't it?
I'd take that on a Saturday.
Eh?
I'd take that on a Saturday.
Yeah, I'd take that any day.
Yeah. No, I mean, Leeske. We talked about Leeske in the last one. He was just...
unreal.
Ridiculous, was he? Just could hit in and out of the park. And yeah, did you see the highlights of it a few days ago?
No, I didn't actually. I'm sad I missed that.
42 off, like, what was it?
42 off 17. I remember that very clearly.
Just
got caught in the boundary just in front of me. Jimmy Anderson.
Were you there?
I was there. It was literally there.
Yeah. If he just
was gone. Very proud day.
Yeah.
It was a proud day. It was a great spectacle at Manorfield as well, that game, Mike, wasn't it? It just the Manorfield just looked superb.
Well, but remember that all that rain. They had all that rain, and it was just it took forever to get the game going. But then, just as well, they did, and then Leeske came on and just smashed. It was James Treadwell, I think. He just put him into over the Sodexo building a few times and all sorts. It was just brilliant to watch.
I swear I've heard a thing about that. He wasn't going to play if it was 50 overs.
That's right. Freddie Coleman was playing. And then they left 20 Freddie Coleman
and he got put in at five and then popped out first of all. Six, didn't he? Yeah.
Man of the match as well, I think.
Yeah, man of the match. So who's your number four, Lammy?
Well, I had both Jan Gordon and Michael in my side who could all have knocked into that slot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have a tactical number four because I'm going to strike somebody off Mikey's list further down the list because I know. but I'm picking Elton Williams.
He's definitely off my list anyway.
He can be anywhere again.
Who was a great player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Came across to UK to play hockey.
Correct.
For Gordonians.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jan knew him before he came across.
Yeah, they knew each other from PE.
But the year that Jan proed for us, he came to me and said, look, there's this guy, he's across here playing hockey. If we can get him a job and somewhere to stay, you know, he can play with us because he's here, he's on his thing. And I was like, right, okay. And we organized, he started working with me at my office. I got a job with me. And he started playing and, you know, he was the guy that you gave the ball to bowl into the wind.
And bowl all day.
And he bowled all day.
And go for nothing.
That big swingy thing. And
swing it around corners.
Weird, isn't it?
Just quiet, sort of unassuming guy, but he could bowl. He could bowl.
Yeah. And
you know, he actually shone more with the bat when he left.
Yes.
Maybe we didn't give him as much credit with a bat as what we probably should have done, or I should have done. But there were always, you know, to balance in the side out, you know, he was always a mid to lower order batsman for us. But what a player. What a player.
I suppose when he was there, and we were, you know, blessed with all rounders. I mean, you know, Jan, Leeske, Gordon, you know, class player, class bloke again, could do everything, couldn't he? Bat, bowl, field, brilliant, just.
That's interesting. I never knew the Elton story, why he came over. I was going to ask you, actually, because I was thinking about people and I never knew why Elton came across, but at hockey. So did he just give up hockey to play cricket?
No, he carried on playing. He carried on playing hockey. Him and Stuart Goodson actually played they ended up playing in the same club.
Yeah, so he came across here to play hockey and just never went home.
No. Then met up with Gosha and got married.
Boom, yeah.
That's a cool story, actually. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Of course, we it hit hard when he left, didn't it?
Big time. Well, him, Leeske, Ali Gill leaving the same season was
2015 season. That was a tough one, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive blow.
Just shows how important he is.
All right, Lammy, you number five,
Number five, Lammy.
I might have to do something tactical again here, Mike, but
we're going to have the strongest top sevens ever, and then
there's still lots of good players to come.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, okay, so my number five is a guy who, again, is a young lad, or was a young lad, I worked really hard with him. Sadly, he left to move to Manorfield, where he thought things, the grass would be greener. And for me, he just left
a year
too early. You know what I'm talking about, Mike.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, he scored his first 100 the season before. I think he went on and scored a second 100 maybe as well in the same year. He had 200s the same year. He just really came on as a player. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, as a youngster, he just got to the stage that he became like almost an adult in his head. So, Graham Tomlinson.
Tomo. Oh, right. That's not who I thought you were going to say.
No?
Yeah, different route as well.
Hey, Tomo makes my side. Could possibly have snuck him up into fourth slot, but I really want a Delta in my team.
I always thought Tomo was a number three. I remember the year I captained my first year.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a higher order than a number four.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember where you were batting at the time, or maybe you weren't playing that season, but I said to Tomo right at the beginning of the season, you're batting three. And then just the beginning of the season, he really struggled. And near the end of the season, all of a sudden, he got that 100 against that Sri Lankan pro for St. Moden's, that Lineage or something. The guy played for Sri Lanka. He got 100 against him at St. Moden's and just batted beautifully. Again, straight drive, just nothing in the air, everything on the ground. To be honest, I didn't have him on my sheet. I didn't have him on my sheet. And maybe it's got a lot to do with the fact that he went to Shire.
Yeah, sadly, you know, his season, he left Stony Wood, he had a great season.
He went to York. Remember, he went down to York Cricket Club and did really, really well down there.
But he just didn't hit it off at Shire, from what I saw anyway. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't do very much when we played against him. But
no, he didn't.
And also, the top bloke. Top bloke.
Yeah, great guy. You see how well he's doing now.
Yeah, he's on GMTV the other day.
Saw that, yeah, with Phil and Holly. Amazing, eh? The fitness chef.
Yeah.
Well, Lammy, I didn't have him.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that one.
I'm glad I've got him.
Right, so my turn for number five.
Yeah, you're five and six. But five first.
Okay, so probably five and six is a one, but it's same family. And that means I've got three out of the four anyway.
Yeah, the four.
So I'll go Sean at five. Again, Sean probably hasn't ever fulfilled the potential that he's got. I've just always thought he had so much time. Out of all the guys I've played cricket with, I would say Sean had the most time at the crease. Unbelievable time. And, you know, he always just batting just looked easy for Sean. And I think it was too easy for him. And he would often play the wrong shot just at the wrong time. But I think, you know, great cricket brain. And actually has became a very, very, very good off spinner. Underrated off spinner, I think. I think he could probably, had he bowled that earlier in his cricket career, and if he could learn to keep his mouth quite shut at times, he probably could have played big cricket.
I was just going to say that Sean, under me, was a bowler.
Yeah.
And probably underutilized as a batsman.
Yeah. And did well as a bowler. I mean, if you look at the stats, he did really well.
But he was a medium pacer, hit the seam, moved the ball around. Mm-hmm. But he was a hothead.
Yeah, always been a hothead.
Hothead. And, you know, I think he's down on my list, but I didn't think I was going to get him. But never mind. That's okay. I'm going to see who you're going to grab at number six now.
Well, I think I've already said who it is.
Yeah.
That's a bad shout.
How?
For your number six.
Pete Kutzer.
Yeah.
How?
He didn't play much with you.
I played two seasons with Pete.
Two seasons? I played cricket with Pete for 20 years.
I mean, in the two seasons I was there, that man's knowledge, that man's calmness, that man's hands, I've never seen anybody catch a ball like him.
Yeah.
Sean gets it because Sean can catch. Sean catches really, really well. But he's old man. Remember at Gully, Lammy?
Yeah.
He wasn't a youngster. I mean, he wasn't a youngster there when I played with Pete. I mean, you know, Sean would have been 21. Kyle was 18. So Pete wouldn't have been a youngster, and he was just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I know, you know, he would go down in the grades and then go play Cheddixley on the absolute horrendous wicket and hit 100 for fun.
I started my career in the grades.
Yeah.
And Pete Kutzer played cricket with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go watch because I was too young to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in those days, you know, Pete was a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right through until when he played his last few seasons, you know, Pete must have been, what, would he have been 55?
He was well into his 40s.
More than that. Older than that.
No, he was, I think he was sort of probably my age now, 47, somewhere in there.
I think Pete would have been older than that when he stopped.
Well, when he stopped, but I'm saying when he was playing first team cricket.
Yeah, but he only played 2 years with you.
Yeah, but he played at first team. He played on after that. But not much more.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean Pete, I've batted so many times with Pete. Mm-hmm. And having Pete at the other end as a young cricketer and him coming down and talking to you, you know, after a bad shot or, you know, lapse of concentration, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. You know, and Pete, the thing about Pete was he was always positive. You know, there was nothing, you know, no matter who you were playing against, there was always Pete.
Yep.
You know, and what Pete used to like, or I used to like about Pete, is Pete never batted with a helmet on.
Yeah.
He wouldn't wear a helmet. And he used to go out and, you know, I remember Clydesdales, there's Yasser Arafat, you know, it just goes out and, you know, first ball, you know, because he's come out without a helmet on, goes soaring over his head. And Pete
Didn't
just stands him. And stares at him. And, you know, I think, you know, just as a player,
as in the Yasser Arafat
character and as a teammate, you know, he's an absolute legend. And yeah, very, very disappointed that I haven't got him in my side.
Sorry, Lamy, but
I'm sure from the collective votes that come in from the the viewing public that Mr. Kutzer, Pistol Pete, will get a sab, I'm sure.
So is that the Yasser Arafat that you're talking about?
The Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, the cricketer Yasser Arafat, not the...
not the politician.
Not the leader.
No. So you got a helmet, fair enough. On a dodgy West wicket.
He was class, wasn't he? He was quick.
You can see his...
First time we played them, or yeah, played against him, I came into bat number four.
Mm-hmm.
And before me... Who was the young guy?
Chris Thompson. Absolutely gone. Petrified.
He was gone. And I'm trying to think, I think the other one might have been Ian Brand. I can't remember.
I think it was Brando, yeah.
But there was two guys. So I went in the first over. I'm batting four. And I walk out and we're 1 for 2.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Stuart Kutzer is batting at the other end and he hasn't faced the ball.
Eyes like this.
He hasn't faced the ball yet. And I go into bat. I can't remember. I'd have to look at the score sheet and see if we batted first or second, but I can't remember. But in any case,
we batted first. I looked at that the other day.
I think I hit 60.
You got 60. I got 40 odd, like I think.
And I batted with Pete and I batted a little bit. I'm sure Pete got some reasonable runs that game too.
Probably.
I remember Pete coming out, and the first ball he got went over his head, coming out without a helmet on, and puffed his chest out.
You can see the knowledge though in Sean. Well, I've seen it in Sean. Obviously, I've played with Sean, but you can see it in all the Kutzers, can't you? Really, just the cricket brain. I know Sean, as you said, Mike, he just does some wacky things as captain, but it just works.
The cricket brain on those guys is unbelievable, and it's all from Pete.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Lamy, is Pete's delivery. You know, in terms of giving you information, it was never you played a shit shot. It was always something. You know, you could have done that better, or he just had a different way with words, and just had a knack of getting the best out of people.
He just wasn't negative about anything.
No. Great bloke, great cricketer.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's in my team as well. The experienced hand in my team.
I need to do a little bit of rearranging here, Mike, now that you've just gone and done that.
You're six, Lamy.
So...
this is going to get interesting now.
This is where it gets interesting, because I would say, well, no bowlers yet, but you're close to a lot of the main 11.
Yeah, so, okay, this guy's in my team, and Mike didn't play with him. he was one of the very first names that I wrote down in my sheet. And this guy is probably the most aggressive cricketer I played with. And I don't mean that in a in aggressive towards the opposition. I just mean aggressive in the way he played. You know, when he bowled, you know,
I think I know you're talking about now.
A real aggressive bowler. You know, he wouldn't give you anything. And then when he batted, he came out and he would butcher the ball around the place. He was also a really good friend of mine at the time when he played. And he took the club from, you know, just to the next level, I think. You know, just put in people's head and gave everybody the belief that we could actually win games.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were playing against, I'm sure it was Clydesdale, came up to Stony Wood, very first time we played them in the Scottish Cup. And we absolutely smashed them at People's Park. I think we bowled them out for like about 70 or something like that.
They Can you imagine the Western bucks. Guys that would have been spewing? Yeah.
In those days, the George Reefer.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Clydesdale? I'm trying to think.
No, that was Fergusley.
That wasn't Fergusley.
Well, Reefer played for Fergusley. George that was Kelburn, Lemmy. Kelburn.
No, it wasn't Kelburn. No, he must have played for somebody before that. It was one of the Glasgow sides, anyway. Mm. They came up, and in my eyes, in our eyes, it was, you know, it was a walk in the park for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely battered them that day.
Really?
And Andy B.
Beza.
Andy B. In that game, in fact, no. Yeah, we did. We scored a stack of runs, and then we bowled them out cheap. Andy B. ran me out on 99.
Really?
He ran me out on 99.
And he still selects him, KP.
It was off the bowler's boot.
Oh.
So he absolutely battered one back at George Reefer, which hit his boot and went onto the stumps. And I was out of my ground and I was on 99.
Did you know you were on 99?
I knew I was on 99, yeah.
Oh.
Can you bet, Lammy?
Huh?
Can you bet?
Beezer?
Yeah.
Oh, superb batsman.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Beezer would have had an average on the seasons he played for us in the 60s or 70s.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nights and all that, yeah.
I think number six a bit low for him, though, Lammy.
Two seasons, I think, he played. And
he played for Scotland, didn't he?
He played for Scotland for years and then came out of the frame. Okay. And in the first season back he played for us, he got called back into the Scotland squad.
Okay.
I went down with him to watch him play at Greenock. He played against some team down at Greenock. But yeah,
I actually did play one game with him.
He was a great player. Did you play with him? Did you?
Just one game.
Ah.
He did nothing. I think he bowled but didn't do much. I think he must have been on holiday. He lives in Australia now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the latter part of his career.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
I mean, we took him on as a pro.
Okay.
Or as our sort of paid player, not pro.
Yeah.
We didn't have a pro that year, but he was our paid player. We took him on as a bowler. Yeah. But as I say, I mean, he averaged 60-odd, 70 with a bat.
So
I think at one point in the season, he was averaging over 100.
Really?
Jeez.
Just class. Absolutely class.
Right.
So, right. You're seven, Lammy.
So, Andy B is number six. Okay, so I'm going to get the next one in because I would imagine this guy might be on Jabba's list too. But I'm going for my big bro.
Ah.
My big bro.
I've heard things about this man.
My big burger bro.
Yep.
Pretty unassuming. Didn't sort of get too blasé about anything. But Robert with the ball did miracles. You know, if ever you wanted to break a partnership, you know, give the ball to Robert. He wasn't a fast bowler.
Wicked to wicked.
He could just put an extra, you know, a yard or two on a ball. But he could, yeah, he was very slingy. He bowled from a low trajectory, almost not Malinga style.
Not quite as bad as Malinga, but...
Low trajectory. But he could move the ball both ways off the seam. Again, you know, I'd be fielding it mid-off and speak to him and we'd be talking back and forth. And the amount of times he would say, you know, I've got him, it's going away, this one's coming back in, watch this. And he brings it back in and takes the leg stump or takes the off stump or something like that. The amount of times he talked about getting somebody out. Or he'd come to me, you know, and say, you know, give me the ball, I'm going to get this guy. You know, we need, they've got to break this part. Give me the ball, I'll get him. And he'd come on and do it. And for me as a batsman, when he was under me as captain, it didn't really do very much.
No.
Again, he hated batting with a helmet on, so he wouldn't go to bat with a helmet on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he went down and captained the twos.
Oh, unbelievable.
That he started battering the ball around. And I think, again, he won the Strathmore Union batting. The year he went down as captain with an average of about 60 or 70 as well.
Smashed Paul Harris down at Meagle at the park. Yeah. Paul Harris, who played for South Africa. Spin bowler for South Africa.
Yeah.
And Spanky, Lammy, remember Spanky? Spanky was
Nathan Palmer, is that
Nathan? Nathan Palmer, yeah. He was at Meagle the season before he came to us. And Robert just smashed them both everywhere. I wasn't there. Cregan talks about it all the time. He was underrated batter, I reckon. Again, positive, Lammy.
Oh, yeah.
On the cricket field. Positive all the time.
Great of hands.
Just everything about Robert was just... The only thing with him was he spoke too quickly. Or speaks too quickly. I struggled to understand him for a start.
Where did the nickname Burger come from?
Where did that come from, Lammy? Was that Matthew Cohen was Rab Kebab and then Robert just became Burger?
Obviously because he had a little bit of a belly on him, Robert. He was, you know, he wasn't the tallest, slim sort of guy that I was. You know, he was a little bit shorter and fatter and Burger just seemed to stick, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was amazing, eh?
Yeah.
I've always heard about him. Just massive. Yeah,
good cricketer, good bloke. Was on my list. So
your seven, mate. Do you the keeper?
Hey, my seven. Here's the one I was talking about earlier. Picking this guy on what he would have become. He joined the club not long after Jan came across from Shire as a youngster. Bowled massive in-duckers. Played with me in the twos. I remember playing against Perth Duckett up at Stonywood and Paul Tremontinus, who has got a reputation for being a very horrible man on the cricket field. Omar Afridi running in, stuck one out, and it was like, everybody thought it was going to be a wide. He let it go. Castled him, and Tremontinus never said a word. Probably, I think he didn't score a run that day. And he was a good player. Aussie, really, really good player. He never spoke the rest of the day. He was so sick of getting out for this 14-year-old or whatever he was at the time. But Omar just got better and better and better and then started scoring runs and then moved to America. I think they were about 16. He was probably about 17 or 18. Moved to
both of them were good, wasn't it? Because what was the younger one's name? He was my age.
Abdullah.
Abdullah was really good.
Afridi, but Omar, I think, would have been class. And yeah, it's a bit of a wild one to put in the best of all time. But I just think he would have been, had he'd stuck around for two or three more seasons, he would have been something really, really special.
I did play with him, Mike.
But I played a lot with him in twos, Lammy, so I could see the potential. You probably didn't play that much with him in the ones.
Yeah, no, I think he did come in and play once or twice, maybe when we were short or just sort of holding up. And yeah, obviously the net bowlers and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, good young lad. I when you mentioned his name there, I did wonder what happened to him.
He moved to America. Just a lovely family, just everything about, yeah, great people, really. Just a pity they moved to America with his old man. I thought he was class.
No, but you're right. They were really good. I remember them back in the day.
And Abdullah, Abdullah would have been. Yeah, Abdullah never played ones, I don't think. So
did he end up doing leggies or something?
They bowled left arm orthodox, but spun at miles and took wickets for fun in grade three when he was like 12, 13 years old. Just he was literally unplayable, Abdullah.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Have you got a keeper yet, Mike?
No, I don't.
I wasn't sure if you were throwing the gloves to someone rogue.
Oh, I'll have to throw the gloves to somebody. I'll throw the gloves to Sean because I haven't got a glove man yet. And I'm unlikely to have, to be honest. Right, to me, number seven.
No, it's me. Get off.
You've got to do number six still, haven't you? No, you've got to do number seven.
Oh. No, Mike, it's your eight.
No.
No, yeah, Lammy hasn't done seven yet.
I haven't done a seven yet.
Your seven's your brother.
No, he's my six.
That's right. So it's me first now, Lammy.
Yeah. You've got seven, Lammy.
So it's me to do eight, yeah?
Yeah, you to do eight. And then Lammy, eight and nine.
Right.
Yeah, I've got seven. Sorry, I'm not...
Okay, I'm going with... this guy, when he joined the club, I just wasn't sure. Joined the club from Colts as a youngster. And the deal was, Jan had a deal with his old man that if he played first team, he played for Stonywood. If he didn't play first team, he'd go back to Colts. But, and Stonywood, being Stonywood, always was struggling for players. And so he was in the first team. Just stayed in the first team the whole season. I don't think he did anything first year. Probably didn't do much second year. But then I think from third or fourth year onwards was just unbelievable. Scored runs in the end. I think he got 100. There was a game, King and Kiddo spoke about it the other day against Penicook. Him and Stewie Kutz opened the batting. He got 100 there. But class bowler. And I think he was a season away from playing for Scotland. Ali Gill. He was just underrated. But I think underrated at the time, but he was getting a reputation for being, up there with the best in Scotland at the time. He bowled some massive big inductors.
Big inductors. Late in swing, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Late in swing. Yeah.
And just, I don't think we saw the best of him. I don't think he saw the best of himself. And packed in cricket, unfortunately, just at the peak of when he was going to go, I think he was going to go big, to be honest.
One thing I noticed was with Ali latterly was he beefed up.
Yeah.
He got quite broad-shouldered and beefed up a little bit. And obviously that gave him that extra yard, which you see brought him to different levels of bowler.
Yeah. Totally. And hard-working. Just worked so hard. I mean, that year with his batting, I remember going to the club, turning up at training at Papa's 5, 6 o'clock. Gilly was in the nets. Every Tuesday, every Thursday, him and... trying to think, was Michael Leeske or whoever, were just in the nets constantly. Right.
Yeah, I remember going up, and that was the season where he scored the 60 at Carlton, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Same season, yeah.
Because we talked about that one and the other one, and it was, I just remember every, because also I was like, 13 at the time, hearing, we're going to get relegated, we're going to lose Leeske, we're going to lose Elton, we're going to lose all these boys. And then I remember following it, must have been chasing 250, just thinking.
Twitter, wasn't it? It was all on Twitter.
Yeah, just chasing 250, like, that's it, we're not beating Carlton. And then Ali Gill, 64, almost took us home, didn't he?
And Leeske got 80-odd, yeah. And
Leeske whacked a 90, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose eight might be doing him in that team an injustice, but in a normal team.
Well, in that team, in my team I've got, I think he can only slot in at eight.
Yeah, I don't think not pushing anyone else at the way.
No.
Yeah.
So, Lammy, you're eight.
Yeah, I'm starting to...
All-rounder, Lammy. It's got to be an all-rounder. You can't go bowlers yet.
I'm starting to...
Oh, you never know, Mike. You had your opening bowlers 2 and 3.
Yeah, but they were all-rounders, though.
This is where I had my problem thinking that, I knew that you would have stole my guys down here. Because guys that played for me down here are all in your top order. my number eight that I'm going to pull forward is a guy who you won't really remember. Well, you will remember, of course, remember him, but you probably wouldn't remember playing much with him, Mike, I don't think. I'm going with John Fraser.
Okay, no, I didn't play with John.
John Fraser, left arm, round the wicket, through and round.
Yeah,
just used to rife it in. I always think left arm spin bowler is a guy to have on your team if he's got the ability. He wasn't the best batsman. He wasn't the best fielder. He could catch the ball in the slips. But John, if you wanted an end, sort of, you could set a field to John. You could set an offside field and, put it on the off peg, and he would save runs for me. He wasn't in my top 11 players. No disrespect to you, John. But out of the 15, 16 guys I've got here, and I'm trying to give myself a good balanced side, having a left arm through and round the wicket bowler, I'm going to have John Fraser in there.
Good stuff.
That's good. And your nine?
My number nine, I'm going with a young lad who stopped cricket too early. He got ill. Had to stop playing. A guy that I worked a lot with in the nets to get him to be the bowler he was. He really struggled with his run-up. Couldn't get a run-up going. And we went through a whole pre-season of preparing and getting a run-up sorted out for him. And, you know, he for a good season for me and a little bit more, was a fantastic bowler. Put on a pace as well. Good pace. So my number nine, am I right?
Yeah, number nine.
Number nine, Scott Redhead.
Yeah, I had him. I had him down.
He played down south, didn't he?
He went to Durham Academy.
Yeah. He must have been close to Scotland as well.
He played Scotland. I remember going down to watch Kyle playing a T20 and that same at Durham. And at the same time, Scotland A were playing against Durham's Academy side. And Scott played for Scotland A then. So I think he was in the frame. He was in the frame. And I think he fell out of love with cricket for a while, I think. And then came back to Stonywood and started enjoying it. And then obviously fell ill. I agree, Lammy. I would
have you heard how he is? I mean, I saw his dad.
I think he's okay. I think he doesn't come round to the club. And his dad said to me, his reason for not coming to the club is he misses it too much. When he watches cricket, like in a club environment, he really wants to play and he just can't. I don't know exactly what the illness is, but it's similar to what his mom had, I think.
It's muscle or bone waste?
I think it was muscle or bone. I can't remember, to be honest. But I definitely had him in the team, had him in my team.
Yeah. No, once again, another one heard of was just an unfortunate injury, isn't it?
Yep. Okay, I'm starting to run short, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's your 9 and 10, 9 first, Mike. I knew this would be the interesting bit where you get some curveballs.
Again, I could go tactical, yeah, because I know Lammy's got him on his list as well. But I think he'd get a nosebleed if he batted 9, but I don't know, to be honest. I'm going to go with it anyway, Lammy. You can just... I've still got a captain to choose as well.
A nosebleed if he bats 9. You're not talking about Brian Cregan, are you?
No. Well, I've got 3 guys left, actually. See, I could go tactical because I know you're gonna. No, I'm gonna go with this one anyway. John Rowe, Lammy.
Yeah.
A name that's not probably very well known at the club. West Indian guy from Barbados, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
Came over, just turned up at the club one day. Knew that we played.
Colin Moyer brought him up.
That's right.
His wife worked with Colin's wife or something like that, and he came along.
Turned up to the club and bowled a spell in the nets, on the concrete nets, and nobody got a bat on him. Absolutely nobody. The guy was like...
Lightning.
Not even quick. I mean, he was quick, but he wasn't...
Too quick.
He was a magician, wasn't he, Lammy? He just, on the concrete nets, he was getting the ball to seam. And nobody gets a ball to seam on the concrete nets. I remember him telling me, he did stuff with his fingers. He said when he let the ball go, he would use his fingers. He could make the ball talk. He was just phenomenally good. And he was well into his 30s. He was well on, wasn't he?
He wasn't a young lad.
37, 38.
Wife and son. Daughter, was it a daughter he had or something?
I can't remember, but he was just awesome. He was, I would say, without doing anybody a disservice, probably the best bowler we've ever had, Lammy, in terms of
skilled
bowler.
And he wasn't one for bowling with the wind either. He would also take the ball into the wind.
He was just awesome. Yeah, I just remember him bowling down at Fergusley. I looked at the stats the other day, but 6 for nothing. Not Fergusley, Stenhouse Muir, who were bogey side for us. We never beat Stenhouse Muir. And that was the one time we beat them. He just ran in, him and Ian van Zyl, Zalas, South African pro. Just awesome, awesome, awesome cricketer. Just pretty we didn't get him for longer. Left under a bit of a cloud. Can't remember all the details, but he would, in my book, you know,
He was in my team, Mikey.
Yeah, I thought he was. That's why I went for
somebody
him.
Somebody who only played, you know, less than a season for us.
Yeah, probably five or six games.
To get his name up there shows, you know, that...
How good he was, yeah.
He was class.
Yeah.
So and you're number nine, Lemmy.
No, I've got nine already.
You're 10, Jabba.
You've got 10.
Got 10.
Yeah.
And then Lambie finishes us off.
Okay, I have got two names left. Depends if Lambie picks any of them. But I haven't got a out-and-out spinner in my team yet. And this guy will probably captain my team as well. I haven't played under all that many captains, first team-wise, at Stonywood. Played under you, Lambie. Played under Sean. Played under Jan. And played a few games under George. And sorry to the rest of you, George, for me, was the best cricketing captain out of all. And as a spinner, when he first joined the club, he was class. Took loads of wickets, didn't he, Lambie? His first few seasons at the club. The season before he went to Shire, he took loads of wickets. And I don't think we actually... then he went to Shire and we realised what we missed. You know, can't run for Toffee, never has been able to. Has scored some pretty useful runs over the years as well.
Yeah, we had him
in various positions. Various positions, yeah. You know, technically correct.
Well, even last year, he's opening the batting in the first team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And he's always had that potential. Sorry?
Has he hit a six yet?
Well, I don't know.
He did.
He did. I remember I saw him hit a six.
He hit the Stu Mel Pro, who...
That's right. At Stonywood. Bounced him and hooked him for six.
Bounced him on a free hit. Georgie charged him and pulled him for six.
I saw that. So, yes, he has hit a six, Lambie. Yeah. So, yeah, Georgie, my captain, and my number nine, is it?
Number 10. Yeah.
And yeah, only, he's only number 10 because of the calibre of the team that I've got
there. I've heard a lot of people say Georgie... top class.
I don't know what, maybe he hasn't worked as hard as he came, because George is one of those guys that really had to work at his game. And when he was at his best, he was at training two nights a week, working really, really hard, probably bowling every second or third ball in the nets and bowled most of the time. It's probably why his batting wasn't as good then as it turned out to be. So yeah, my number 10.
One as well, like Sean, that's been good to have around there. The first team for the last few years as well.
So there's my balance, Lambie. There's my
your spinner.
Who's got the gloves, Mike? Did you say?
Sean. Sean's got the gloves.
Even Sean the gloves. So you've not got an offie.
He said he was one of the best dog spinners you've played with.
Well, I've got George now.
The gloves. He's not doing the sort of village cricket stuff and taking the pads off to do Lambie, a spell with the ball.
If MS Dhoni can do it, anybody can do it.
Jabba. You're showing your. Gloves here. You know.
If I could go with one of the overseas guys, there's two keepers there. One I definitely wouldn't pick just because I don't particularly like the man. and there was another one. So, but he'll be my... I'll need to decide what I'm going to do with that.
My shot, Mike. It's my shot. It's my shot.
Your shot for number 10, yeah.
10, Lennon. Who's holding up there here?
So number 10 for me is a guy who has played cricket still, maybe even turned out just the last few years, certainly would have played in some grades games, who was at one point the fastest bowler in Scotland, officially.
I know you're going to talk about.
Yeah. believe it or not, when he was the fastest bowler in Scotland, he was actually the fastest bowler. He was good.
He was.
But on some occasions, it would... head off in the wrong direction.
And went downhill quite quickly, didn't he?
Yeah. His dad bought him a fish and chip shop and spoiled his lean, mean, fast machine. And he won't mind me saying that. But no, he was Matthew Cohen, was in my 11. And again, he's got a cricket brain.
Yeah, very
he
much
pulled
so.
The bats. Mm-hmm. He opened the batting for us.
Opened the batting for the ones, Matt.
You talked about how much time Sean Kutzer had.
Yeah.
Matthew also had a lot of time.
Did, yeah.
And he had the ability to be able to time the ball as well. But but I'm going back to when we got to the final of the Small Clubs Cup and we played in the playoff. We played in all the early days, you know, the very early days of Stonywood becoming a good outfit. Matthew Cohen was a great bowler. Quick, and you know, Matthew bowled that quick. Sometimes he would end up on the back, on the ground. You know, he tried to bowl so hard that he would fall over, and he would still, you know, do things.
One of the funniest things I have ever seen on a cricket park involves Matthew Cohen.
Yeah.
And if Brian Cregan was here, he would tell the story 100 times better than me. But Maddie was chasing at Arbroath, running towards the houses end. You know, you've got the houses end on the And guy hit a straight drive. Maddie's running after this. And as he's running,
laugh at Matthew just watching him run.
Exactly. But as he's running, you know, I don't know how this happened, how he managed. His trousers started falling down, but they were like really going falling down. They got down to his knees, and he still was running after the ball and ended up slap into the side screen with his ass hanging out. And I think he still tried to field the ball. It was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Great guy. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, back in the early days of Matthew, his dad had a house and he had a bowling net and a bowling machine and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, his dad put a lot of effort into him. And Matthew, 18, 19-year-old, Matthew was, you know, top player.
Proper player.
But at that stage, you know, he was a bowler. And he used to come steaming in and just basically, you know, toss the ball, give us 4 or 5 overs, Matthew, and just bowl as fast as you can.
Fast as you can, yeah.
And he would come steaming down the hill. Bill
McCaig. Yes.
Bill McCaig used to come and watch Matthew whenever we went down south. He would always come along, and he came to watch Matthew Cohen.
Really?
Yeah, Bill McCaig.
I remember he turned up. I don't know why.
He came to watch Matthew Cohen. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think Bill McCaig might have been the minister at Matthew Cohen's wedding.
Oh, it could have been. I wasn't here when Maddie got. I was in South Africa when Maddie got married, so I missed that.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure the relationship between the two of them, Bill McCaig ended up being the minister at his wedding or something like that.
Right. Cool.
So yeah. So there's my number 10, Matthew Cohen.
He's a character as well, is he? Yeah.
So who's your number 11, Lammy?
You know who's 11?
Well, have you got your 10, Mike?
I've got my 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My number 10. Great number 11. Absolutely great guy. Would not have picked a team without putting this guy into my team. In the same caliber as Kutzer, Pete Kutzer, who have not got in my team. So I need to have a senior figure who's going to stand up. Ian Leask.
Oh, Gandalf.
Legend. Yeah.
Ian Leask.
Proper legend.
Would do absolutely anything for you. Would bowl when you want him to bowl. Would bat when you want to bat. Would field where you want to field. Great pair of hands, laterally in slips. We just pluck things out of the air. We'd also be able to go in and hold up an end to see through a game. Never really scored a lot of runs, but scored some real crucial runs and certainly held up a good end. And just an all-round great guy, absolute legend.
Yep.
And you know. When you bring him into the same caliber as some of the other guys that we've mentioned, you know, some top players, you know, Leeske back in the day in the grades.
He was the quickest in the grades, wasn't he?
Was a feared bowler from the competitors. And again, I mean, Leeske was like a second dad to me growing up in the cricketing world. I would not leave him out of my team.
Yeah, no, I can't fault you for that. Still to this day, is one of my go-to guys if I'm needing a little bit of advice about anything. From obviously me moving away from South Africa and being here as long as I have, was like a bit of a father figure to me as well, to a degree. I remember the year I captained the team and I was struggling with my bowling. And I thought I did okay as a captain, but I just struggled bowling-wise. And I'd phone Leeske and positive, but he always came up with just a little nugget. And he just said to me one day, he says, well, why don't you, when you're bowling, try and forget about being a captain. I was like, okay, you know, how do I do that? And he said, well, who's your vice captain? So I said, Cregan. Well, get Cregan to help you out. When you're bowling, let him sort out the field. You don't worry about the field. You concentrate on your bowling. And what a difference. All of a sudden, you look at my figures, though, from in that season. I actually ended up taking quite a few wickets. And it's just little advice like that. Something as simple as, you know, as that made a massive difference to me. And I've always gone to Leeski for all kinds of advice. And, yeah, quite right that he's here, Lamy. Quite right that you picked him.
I mean, you know, I go back to the days, very early days, you know, I mean, Leeski and I working on the pavilion and yeah. doing all the refurbishment work and all that sort of stuff. We were up there straight after work. We were at the old school that was reclaiming the floor.
Reclaiming the flooring.
Packing it all up and getting out before the janitor saw us and getting to the club and putting it all together. And
you know, this is a public forum, mate. You've got to watch what you're saying, yeah.
Like 25 years ago, I'm sure, maybe longer.
You got away with it.
We used to have hair. But just a great guy.
As Mike says, I mean, he's had an impact on so many, mm-hmm. even, you know, me. And he was, and even the juniors coming through now, he's up on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then,
just loves cricket.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he just loves cricket. He's ace to have around the club. And as you say, he's one of the main people he built the club, literally. I remember coming up him and who built the fence? You probably all built the fence. I just remember him coming, yeah, we built that. And we can barely put up the nets nowadays. And you guys,
you guys
made a pavilion and a fence that lasted 30 years. We can barely do the net.
I learned how to tiling the showers.
Amazing, eh?
Yeah. And rounding off your team, Mike.
Rounding off my team, right. For me, and I don't think I've used these words yet today, probably one of the most improved cricketers I've played with. I've known this guy for a long time. One of the old Huntley boys, played against him for Huntley and opening bowler and would run in and bowl short and get whacked. Stop bowling short, bowl short, get whacked. And just, I don't know what happened. Then he eventually came across to Stonywood and I think it's the influence of Jan. Mm-hmm. He was on your podcast the other day, KP, Jamie King. Jan's had a massive influence on him as a cricketer, and having played with him for the last two or three seasons, or even longer than that now, you know, he's been our top wicket taker, local or probably over, you know, top wicket taker in the team for many seasons. Got a call up last year for the Huntley, the Highlanders.
Cali
Highlanders, and deservedly so. I think it would be, we'd do him a disservice if we didn't pick him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I genuinely believe one of the most improved cricketers I've been involved with as a senior cricketer. You know, he started cricket quite late, as he said the other day. Mm-hmm. And the improvement he's made from when he joined Stonywood Dice, I can't remember when that would have been, probably
2013, I think he said, 2013.
2013 until now is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, probably would have been first team vice captain, possibly even first team captain this season if it ever happens. Good cricket brain, good guy, and you know, just a generally proper bowler. Proper bowler. Takes, you know, he generally gets the best batter in the team out.
Well, you saw last year we did so well because we had a strong base up top, him and Gareth. Yep. And 9 times out of 10, as you say, if we get early wickets, he's taken 2 or 3 of them.
It's important. I've always said that, you know, if you're going to bring, you know, an overseas player across to sort of balance a side out, if you bring across a really good bowler who's going to knock.
Well, King is not overseas. King is local.
I know he's not, but no, what I'm saying, you know, if you don't have one of those locally, to bring one of those into your side.
Totally.
And rightfully so at number 11, Mike.
Right. Rightfully so, number 11. Although I'm gonna big him up here. I remember captaining a game here at Huntley. Jan was in my team that day for the twos, and
he talks about this story a lot.
We thought we were gonna absolutely walk all over Huntley, and we had them under wraps. I had Aklak, I had Scott Redhead, Jan in my team, myself. We had a decent bowling attack, and Kinga just came in at batting at, I don't even know what number he was batting, 7, 8, 9, I don't know. And just smashed it and smashed Jan everywhere. Got 50 in no time and took the game away from us. And I think we ended up losing. But yeah, has got ability with a bat. If we just believed it a little bit more and took it a little bit more seriously.
Don't say that, Mike.
He has. I've seen it. I'm joking.
Yeah, I think you find that the all good bowlers,
yeah,
can turn themselves into batsmen laterally.
Well, they've got to think like that, haven't they? So that's my 11.
The ones you've spoken about there, I mean, who all started as a bowler? Kyle, Sean, Matty Cohen, you said?
Gowdy.
Yeah, they're all bowlers.
Elton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Elton, I don't know. We don't know Robert. How he started, really, do we? In your eyes, he was a bowler.
Who, Elton?
Yeah.
Ali Gill.
Yeah, I think he'll tell you that as well.
So overseas,
George,
to go first in the overseas. I think Lammy's, yours is easy because all you've got to do is walk into Stony Wood and look at the honours boards and see.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the easy job here because I've never played with this guy.
Oh, this is a guy came across and he wouldn't say boo to a goose. He was just such a quiet, couthy guy. He came across and the way he used to work at his batting, you know, was just, he was so dedicated. You know, he would stand and hit balls on his own. Yep. You know, he would drop balls. You know, you see some of the videos now, kids dropping balls from their chin and doing stuff. This guy worked on himself. Back then, that just didn't happen. You went to the nets, you did throwdowns. Mm-hmm. He worked on himself. And he didn't work on hitting the ball hard. It was all about timing. He just used to just tickle things away and just time stuff away. Mm-hmm. That season, I mean, he was a pleasure to watch. Actually, a story about, it's Arno Jacob is who I'm talking about.
Oh, I think everybody knows that. Anyone that's been in the club would know.
He started off the season, I think he must have had 300 or 400s quite early doors. And of course, word got around at how good he was. We were due to play Fort Hill what's their ground called again?
At Forfarshire.
Broughty Ferry, is it? What's it called? Forfarshire at Fort Hill. Fort Hill's the ground, yeah, that's right. Yes. So we're due to play them there, which is renowned as being an absolute road. So we turn up down there to play these guys on a lovely day, and there's a minibus sitting there with a whole crowd of people on it. Mm-hmm. Which turns out that all of the Western Union buffets, mm-hmm. so like, you know, your Clydesdale, your Pollock, Fergusley, all the old guys that used to go and watch all these guys, mm-hmm. had got together, got themselves a bus, and came from Glasgow,
unbelievable,
to Dundee to watch Arno Jacob bat. And he hit, probably up on the scoreboard at the club, he hit 160 or something like that.
I saw that when I was going through my research, yeah.
And he didn't play one bad shot. I mean, we're talking about, you know, he would stand at the crease and he would play the perfect shot, have the pose and just stand. Mm-hmm. You know, he just didn't run. You know, it was just, as soon as the ball left his bat, he knew it was four and he just stood there. And the guys, I mean, they all walked around and they came and they spoke to him and it was like a massive celebrity. And you know, he just spoke for himself. Yeah. And, you know, you look at him, he scored, 900 runs or 1,000 runs in the season?
He goes 1,000 runs in the season.
600s or something.
And such an unassuming guy, you know, just didn't have much to say for things. And he went back and he played for... Western Transvaal he played for, Mike?
Northwest as they got known. I think he did play, ended up playing for the Warriors as well. Eastern Province, played for them for a lot of years. I think he got into the South African ace setup and just never ever, he was a keeper as well, I think, just never ever made it. And I think it was just at the time of the whole transition thing and he just never got over the line. But
he does umpiring now.
Oh, does he? Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I'm sure he's
the pro umpire.
His badges are what you do for umpiring, okay.
and
him doing stuff like that. But what a player!
Yeah,
there you go. I mean, there's just nobody comes close in my eyes.
I only played against him. I never played with him. I remember playing him in a T20 midweek T20 at Huntley, and Neil Nicol back in those days was still relatively sharp. And I remember Neil running in and he pitched one up to Arno. Arno was a lefty, eh?
Uh-huh.
He reverse swept. Well, he didn't reverse sweep him. He sort of stuck the back of the bat out in front of him. He played it in front of him. Stuck and hit it with the back of the bat down past third man, because he never had a third man. It was like almost like a reverse sort of...
20 years ahead of his time.
Oh, honestly, he was totally ahead of his time.
Well, the reverse sweeping then, I mean, little guy Kruger van Wyk.
Yeah.
He was the first guy really that introduced... I mean, he used to slog reverse sweep for six.
He was the only overseas guy that ended up playing test cricket from Stonywood.
Yeah, he went to New Zealand.
Like 4'10" or something.
Yeah, I played for New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. But who's
your captain, Lamy?
Who's my captain?
Yeah. You got him yourself.
Sorry. Yeah, my captain's Andy B.
Andy B.
Not you.
No, I'm not captaining.
All right, okay.
Coaching.
I picked myself my team, not captaining it.
If you were my team, you were captain my team.
Yeah, but sorry. So just going back to the reverse sweep. Back then, when reverse sweeps were played, they were played with the back of the bat.
Yeah.
So you just went down and you scooped it with the back of the bat. You didn't turn around and play it with the face of the bat.
No, he just there was a nudge off the back of the bat. Yeah. I remember. Yep. So my overseas Lamy, I'm going to need help here.
Yeah.
Are you wanting a bowler or a batsman?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't really need either. I need a keeper, to be fair.
Well, no, because it's just a 12th man, so it's anyone, I suppose.
You can't. If you need a keeper, then you've got to pick Kruger.
No, it's no way I'm picking him.
You didn't like the guy, but...
Well, that's why I can't. I just can't.
Well, Neil van Vuren was a superb bowler.
Well, here's my list, Lamy. Here's my list, right?
Okay, tell me.
Sangram Singh.
Yeah.
Darren Nachol.
Yeah.
Paddy Stadler.
Yeah.
I'll leave this one. Wikus Buerta.
Yeah.
Neil van Vuren.
Yeah.
Ian van Sale.
Yeah.
Liam Lindsay.
Yeah.
All awesome. Every single one of them awesome cricketers. And the one I haven't mentioned yet who actually didn't play in your time, and I think I'm going to go with this guy because of the keeper. And
I know who you're going to pick. I know who you're picking.
He ended up playing... Braden. Who?
Braden.
Braden Stephan. Ended up playing Big Bash in Australia this year. I'm going to have him as my overseas.
Yeah.
Gives me a bit more better balance. Give me... So I can have him as my keeper if I need to.
He was
but you look at those overseas guys, Lamy. It's so difficult to choose, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah.
The names there, just all. Oh, like you said, Zalas. I mean, Staffy was awesome, wasn't he? Neil van Vuren.
Oh.
Quick. Quickest overseas, I think. Well, Alia Costa was probably quicker.
Yeah, scary.
Costa didn't play National League, so he doesn't count.
No, yeah, he can't really count. It would be interesting to see what he did in National League.
Zalas could bat as well, eh?
Yeah, Zalas was a good player. But Neil van Vuren was better.
He came better back. Better. He came back. I watched him play at Manifield for Namibia.
Yeah.
He was in the Namibian side. I watched him. He came back and played there.
Yeah.
We've had a few Namibians, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Braden, Mike, he could hit a ball, could he?
Yeah, I mean, I probably only played one or two games with Braden. I didn't play that many with him, but just awesome. And you look at what he's done since leaving here. He seems to have got himself fitter. I mean, you look at him now, he looks like a unit.
I was about to say, the, from what I remember of this guy at the club, he was a bit of a sort of lazy kind of...
Yeah, quite a lackadaisical kind of bloke. Yeah.
And that was his batting as well. He would go and hit 50 off 20, 30 balls and just get out, and you're like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. we spoke about it in the last one as well, Kinger and Kiddo, and I remember his first game, we're chasing 250 at Arbroath, and we're like, nah. And then Sean and Braden are 100 for no wicket at a canter, 18, 19, 20 overs. And we're like, fuck, we're going to do it. And then I remember Elton's playing for Arbroath at this point, Bowles, and Braden must have hit this ball miles over the Arbroath clubhouse, just flicked off his pads, massive. And Elton just kind of looked at him like, what? And then the very next ball, classic Braden back then, tries it again, caught. But that was just the type of guy he was. He was... Mm-hmm. He was just ridiculous, was he? He scored 104 for sure off 50 balls. But as you say, it was just the he would just get himself out, and you're like, you could have scored another 50 and 3 or 4 or 5 overs. But yeah, and as you say, what he's done now is amazing. He's only going
to
get
unbelievable, unbelievable to get into that competition
with amount
of talent in that country. Frightening, frightening to do.
Posting pictures with Steve Smith. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Very important. I don't know. You have to find the remote. Look underneath the clothes, underneath the telly, or on the windowsill.
No,
definitely not. Okay. We've got a TV crisis upstairs. Heather wants to put the television on and she can't get it on. Sorry, Ewan.
That's all right. That's all right.
Sorry, listeners.
So,
you're going to say very important.
Sorry.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's us best. I'll run through them in case I've jotted their ending wrong. So we've got the Lamb 11, Stu Kutzer, Steve Knox, David Lamb, Elton Valemsa, Graham Tomlinson, Andy B, Captain, Robert Lamb, John Fraser, Scotty Redhead, Matthew Cohen, Ian Leask, and then the overseas 12thers, Arnold Jacobs.
Yeah.
And then the Mike Lowe dream team, which is a frightening top four. Frightening top four. Kyle Kutzer, Jan Stander, Gordon Gowdy, Michael Leask, Sean Kutzer with the gloves, which I've seen him in the last few years. That's a dodgy one, that. Pete Kutzer at 6, Omar Afridi at 7, Ali Gill, John Rowe, George Ninan, captain at 10, and Jamie King 11 with Aidan Stepien as the overseas. It's not bad.
Not bad. That's a good game, that. That's a good game.
I think
Arno definitely levels those teams up a bit.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for coming on, guys. That was fun.
Can I just say, there's a few guys that we should really mention.
That's what I was going to say, actually. Yeah. Any honourable mentions?
If you think of Lammy, the guys that never ever got to play National League cricket. Your dad.
Yeah.
Ian Spivey-McRae. Colin Moyer.
Yeah.
Moyer, just ridiculous, the talent that man had. Hey.
I even played with Colin Moyer when I was like.
Yui Key. I never got to see Yui play, but I believe him and Spivey together as a partnership.
They got many victories. I mean, I'm going back to days when Dice used to play against Stony Wood,
mm-hmm.
And Spivey and Ian McRae were a formidable opening partnership.
Were they Dice?
That always used to say.
What were they? What club were they?
They were at Stony Wood.
Okay.
Yeah, Spivey and Huey were at Stony Wood.
Okay.
And Alan Barron. I mean, yeah. Alan Barron for all his haters. There's a lot of lovers as well. And
great guy.
Alan was one of these guys that the best thing about Alan Barron was he rated himself.
Yeah.
You know, and he could run in and, you know, if anybody needed the ball, he would take the ball and he would go do it. And, you know, he could put it on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he took many wickets because he used to talk. Yeah, he used to sort of talk rubbish.
Really? AB talk?
Yeah.
Never.
Absolutely talk wickets. right. Yeah, great. And then, you know, we've mentioned Cregan and
mm-hmm.
I had a few of the uni guys who were there around about the time that you and I latterly were at it. You know, you got Ash Taylor. Who was the, you got Lefty, Pete McSimchick.
Stinson.
Stinson, Pete the Lefty, because he's not going to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
McSimchick, yeah, he ended up going to play for Watsonians last year.
Yeah, because he bowled something like 10 wides in an over or something last year, Pete the Lefty.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? No, as you say, I mean, there's plenty of players that we could have added that didn't.
One guy that was on my list that hasn't made it into my team did a lot pre-National League. He came across to Stony Wood when we were in the Strathmore Union and was a great one for helping us into the National Leagues, was Andy Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sadly, Andy passed away must be about 4 or 5 years ago now. But Hammy in his day in the Strathmore Union was just, you know, he took some great wickets, scored some runs. But, you know, he was a loose cannon, complete loose cannon.
With a capital L, Lammy.
Socially, he was just phenomenal as a person. I remember he enjoyed the social at Stony Wood so much that he lived and worked in Linlithgow, which is where West of Scotland, where West Lothian are from.
West Lothian, yeah.
And he played for us. and the season that happened, the game we were due to play against West Lothian.
West Lothian, he was late.
They took him out. They took him out on the Friday night, got him absolutely bladdered. When we turned up at the grounds, and we were late in getting to the ground because there was some festival on there in the day and we couldn't get anywhere near the grounds. We turned up late. We ended up starting a game with five players.
Yeah, I was in. I was captain.
They made us field. And when Hammy walked into the changing room, he'd been in the cells because he'd fallen asleep in the train station. They dropped him off at the train station and basically mum had to go and pick him up from the police station in the morning he was supposed to get a lift. It was a disaster. Anyway, we ended up with five fielders. And they batted, which I wasn't that happy about because they didn't tell us that there was this festival and we wouldn't get into the park and we had to walk all over the place. And in the first over, Hammy was fielding at covers. Who was the wicketkeeper for them, Mike?
Fleming.
Fleming drives this ball straight at Hammy, which goes straight through his legs because he's still blind drunk. So he turns, right? And he chases after this ball and he runs all the way to the boundary, picks it up just inside the line, turns to throw the ball back in and throws it over the boundary before, obviously, plus the runs they had as overthrows. Oh, my goodness me.
He was a liability in the end.
Yeah, he was a complete liability.
Great bloke. Yeah. Lowie used to phone me on a Friday night. Lowie, I'm buzzing for tomorrow's game. Absolutely buzzing. And then get out under 10 every single week.
Another story about Hammy. We'd agreed that we were playing, it was a big game, I can't remember who we were playing on the Saturday, but I agreed he would come up on the Friday night and I would cook us a couple of steaks and, you know, we'd have a couple of beers at my house. Heather was due to go out on a night out with her mates. So we'd just have a lad's night in, a couple of beers, have a quiet one. And then we got up early. We always used to go to the Pitstruan Great Western Hotel for breakfast with a few of the guys in the morning and then go out to the ground and have the game. So it was the time that the GU Summit was at Gleneagles. And there was a massive amount of train delays and all that sort of stuff going on. So he'd gone to the train station in Edinburgh to come up to Aberdeen. And obviously, the train wasn't leaving on time. So he went to the bar. I'd said to him, I said, Hammy, I said, if you're coming to stay with me, you come here and you arrive sober and, you know, we'll have a few. You're not coming up here pissed because he would go for it. So anyway, he phoned me when he was on the train didn't go on the train till the back of 9. Well, I mean, he was supposed to be up at Aberdeen by the back of 7. So he'd been drinking in the train station before he left. He then drank all the way up on the train. He phoned me about 10 o'clock from Stonehaven or wherever it was, absolutely bladdered. And I said to him, I said, look, you're not coming here. I'm not having you come into the house in a state. Previous time that he'd been staying in the house pissed, he'd gone and slashed all over the front door in the middle of the night. So I just refused to have him stay. So I just started ignoring the phone. From about 10:30, 11 o'clock onwards, he was phoning me constantly. I knew that he'd loads of people in places in Aberdeen that he could have, you know, got in touch with and stuff like that. So, cutting a long story short, he ended up coming to my door at like 1:30 in the morning and knocking on the door. And I was still awake because Heather was out. But I didn't let him in. I just refused to go to the door to let him in. Heather then phoned me maybe 2:30 because she'd finished her night out, and I went to collect her from her night out. And as I went out, his cricket bag was lying at the door of the house. What's going on? His cricket bag's lying at the door. I didn't really know anything of it. So I went, picked up Heather from town, came back to the house, cricket bag's there. I didn't take his cricket bag in. I took a cricket bag into the house, went in, went to my bed. Got up in the morning. And Hammy is sleeping underneath my patio table at the back of the house, on the patio, sleeping.
I remember that, Lammy.
He basically just came back to the house, and because I wouldn't let him in, he just decided to go kip in the back garden. So he went and slept underneath the table in the back garden. So you can imagine the atmosphere going to and at the game the next day where I wasn't thinking
that. It was blue. That was yeah. very frosty that day. I remember that very clearly.
And then we haven't mentioned Paddy, actually.
Paddy Moroney. No, we haven't, actually.
Paddy Moroney.
I know. There was some
ace overseas, though, wasn't there, back when you
stayed there? Paddy's enthusiasm with the coaching and the kids and
just everything about
the club was just phenomenal. You know, he had so much love for the club and, you know, he was a big guy. You know, he was a fat guy, but he was fit. That sounds bizarre, but you know he could.
He was solid, though, Lammy.
He was solid. Yeah, looking at the scorecards running up to this, he quite a few runs for us.
A lot of wickets.
He's your left arm through and round. Yeah, good little spinner.
Mm-hmm.
Class. He had a way with the drink as well. And what was that little chat he used to do with the?
A blunk nee, stunk nee, weedy, or something like that in Afrikaans. It was.
We all knew this. And I remember we went down and we played at Greenock, and the game got rained off really early.
The crooked arm,
yeah. Oh. Got rained off early. So we went and we got a carry out from somewhere in Greenock. Started drinking it on the bus. My dad was driving. We put a kitty together. It was Lawrence Watte, myself, Stuart Kutzer, and Paddy. There was four of us. Put a kitty together. Got to the Crooked Arm in Bridge of Allen. And we went into Bridge of Allen with our fish suppers that we got from the fish supper shop. And we ordered 100 vodka and red roosters. Which was basically vodka Red Bull, but the rooster was the cheaper version of it. And basically, the girl lined up 100 glasses of vodka shots and then basically poured the Red Rooster through all of them. And we went through this ritual of saying all these things. And between the four of us, we drank 100 vodka Red Bulls.
In an hour, wasn't it?
It was ridiculous. It was about an hour. I threw up in Gowdy's garden when I got home. Lawrence
hit
the window.
He fell over the
window of the bus. It was just...
Yeah, it was carnage. It was
an alcohol-infused season.
It was brilliant. Brilliant. Great days.
Yeah. Great days.
That probably rounds us off then, does it?
Can I mention somebody else who we've missed out of these teams?
Absolutely, yeah. Any honourable mentions?
I don't see Mike Lowe in there anywhere.
Not good enough, Lemmy.
I don't see him in there.
Yeah. I wasn't going to pick myself.
If I didn't have... some of the old stars in there, Mikey. You know, as a legend of the club, I would call you. I would have liked to have brought you into my team, but
I'm quite happy with what we've done.
Because you haven't picked yourself, there was the opportunity for you to be there.
I considered it, but I thought there were other guys more worthy than me. Not fast.
Tough 11 to get into, is it?
22 KPA. You know, you think I'd get into the top 22. I'm joking. I am generally joking. I really don't mind.
Did you score 100 for Jabba?
Not once. I have scored 100 for Stonywood. I've never got a fifer. I've got.
Should have had one last year.
Sorry?
You'd have had a fifer last year.
Well, technically, I did have one. There was one that wasn't given out. Remember? There was. I don't know. Anyway, I've never had five wicket haul. I've had many 3 wicket hauls. 100, a couple of 80s, lots of 50s.
That's what Jan always says about Elton. Elton never got a fifer or a ton for Stonywood, which is mental.
Yeah.
Really? That's surprising.
No, I never had a 5 wicket haul of it. I was looking through those stats, and in the ones that I don't think I had more than a 3 wicket haul, but I had a lot. I think I only ever scored 150 in the ones, but in the twos, loads of wickets and loads of.
Yeah.
Loads of 50s. But, yep. That's what it is.
Any other mentions? I think we've rounded off quite nicely.
We've done well. I mean, obviously, some of the current crop.
I don't know a lot of the current crop, mate. I just thought you might have had a few more of them in your team.
Yeah, well,
honestly,
Lammy, you know, it's really difficult because a lot of them I haven't played a lot with, a lot of cricket with. And you think of the guys that we've picked, you know, it's quite tricky to sort of get some of them in. You know, Kinga definitely, I think, deserved it. You know, you got guys like David Kidd who've improved. You know, KP's done well when he in the last season had a few good knocks. It's difficult. It's difficult when you've got some of the guys, and we, you know, if you look at our top 11, what will probably end up being our top 11, there's a lot of international cricketers there. Guys that have, you know, scored a lot of runs. So it's tricky. And I suppose it's also, there's probably that nostalgic thing as well, where you're going to pick guys that, you know, a lot of these guys were our mates at the time. You know, I played a lot of cricket with a lot of these guys that I picked, and I haven't played that much with some of the newer crop. So 10 years down the line, when KP's doing this with another Stonywood Dice legend, a lot of those guys will be in the side. You know,
That's it. 10, 20 years, then you can maybe... It's a longevity as well. Like, these people...
It's tricky, isn't it?
Have done it for years.
That's the only disappointing thing for me, Mike, is that you've picked quite a few older guys because you did play with them rather than maybe some of the new, younger guys that are coming through now.
Honestly, as we said, the 2015 onwards, I don't think probably been as good standard-wise as...
You look at last season. Last season, you guys did really well.
Last year, we were a proper serious team, but 17, 18, 16, 15...
And that's, I think, for me, Lammy, is the thing is, you know, the guys that we have picked, you know, Ali Gill, George, you know, guys like that, you know, Leeski, Gowdy, Kyle, Sean, Pete, you know, those guys have proven it and they've been around for a long time. And you look at, if you go back and when I was doing my research with us, I looked at scorecards, but also looked at, you know, the press bit when the guys at 3 wickets, 30 and above. And these guys' names came up all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the one guy that possibly I could have done a swap with was Omar Afridi, but I just felt Omar's talent warranted a place.
As a youngster, yeah.
You know, so it's just, yeah.
It's tricky. But I think you're absolutely right to go there because apart from Kinger, obviously Nainan and Jan still play, but you can't put anyone in yet.
That was my thinking. You know,
there's a lot of potential in that first team, though.
Oh, without a doubt.
Anyway, I think that rounds us off nicely, doesn't it?